Lord said in the book of Joel chapter 2, in the last days, he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your old men would do what? Dream dreams, and your young men would see visions, even on my men and maidservants. I'll pour out my spirit in those days. And that means all of us, right? We're all participants, partakers. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy, Lord. For your goodness, Lord. You're amazing. You're amazing, Lord. How many are thankful for the Lord's mercy? Where would we be today without the mercy of God? It wasn't not his mercy that God first reached out to you. He reached out to us, didn't he? We weren't looking for him. He came looking for us. Amen? The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, in the Eastern custom, it was the custom of the groom to look for the bride, to look for a bride. And so our heavenly bridegroom, Jesus, amen, came and looked for those who would be his bride. Hallelujah. And so the bride is in preparation during this time. We are being made ready for the day, amen, when we shall meet with the Lord face to face in all his glory in the wedding supper of the Lamb. And only the bride will be there. Only the pure in heart will see God. And you cannot make yourself pure. Amen. It's only by the mercy of God through the blood of Jesus, amen, that we are made right with God. Isn't it good to be here? Amen. Aren't you glad you didn't listen to that other voice this morning? Just go. Of course, you can't cheat on time. You got an extra hour, right, to sleep this morning. And I got reprimanded a little bit because I shouldn't have said anything. Maybe we would have had more people for Sunday school. So, yeah, we'll trick them into coming. We'll get them here one way or another. But we have a great Sunday school class. Wayne does a tremendous job right now. He's teaching verse by verse through the book of Nehemiah. And we'd love to have you come and join if you want to really dig in. And it's been great. Hallelujah. Well, here we go. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name for the opportunity to serve you, Father. I thank you for the joy that you bring us, Lord, for the hope that we have in you, and for your mercy, your great mercy, Father, that, Lord, you contend with mankind at all, that you, Lord, strive with mankind, that, Lord, you've sent your Holy Spirit, Lord, to convince us, to convict us, and to bring us to repentance, Father. And we thank you even for godly sorrow, because, Lord, we know it works repentance, true heart repentance. Lord, we don't want to be remorseful. We want to be sorry enough to stop what we're doing that grieves you, Father. And we want to do that which pleases you, which honors you, Lord, that we might represent you, Lord, authentically and in a way that would honor you. So help us, God, and help me today, Father, grant me utterance to speak, that I may speak the very oracles of God by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of today's message is one that I found on a coin. So it's not an original, but it's called In God We Trust. In God we trust. And I know I don't know if they're doing it, but they were talking about removing that from the coinage as well. You know what? How many have ever thought about this? But how is it that the wealthiest nation on the planet has so much depression, suicide, and discontentment? Mm-hmm. We have more wealth than most nations, and yet we consume more drugs than any other nation on the planet. Even psychotropic drugs, treating of mental illness. And how is it being so affluent and yet being so impoverished in other ways? How many know that worldly prosperity is not always necessarily a blessing from God? But neither is poverty. I know there are those who think, well, being poor is a virtue. I don't think so. I think that being content with what you have is a virtue. Amen. Being content with anything that we can find something to be thankful for. Amen. How many are glad you got out of bed this morning? Amen. How many were not? But, you know, there's been times in our lives where maybe we didn't want to get out of bed, right? But, you know, if we would focus on the goodness of the Lord, you know, you can find the goodness of God in everything and anywhere, you know, really. He's with us. And it's really about perspective, isn't it? About how you see things. I remember when I was in the Army, we had this saying, well, it's your, you know, it's what you make of it. It's what you make of it, you know, when you're going through a hard time, it's what you make of it. And there's a lot of truth to that. What's more important is that who we're doing life together with and who is with us through it all. Amen. And the faithfulness of the Lord towards us. You see, it's not because we are so faithful. It's because God is so faithful. Amen. We can always count on the faithfulness of God. We're not always faithful, but God remains faithful. That's why he is our solid rock, our foundation. Amen. He doesn't move. He's not shaken by anything. And if we would plant our lives upon him, upon the word, upon Jesus, amen, then we will also be unshakable, unmovable. We'll be steadfast in him. He is the strength of our lives. And so God is going to wean his people off self-dependence, so that we will learn how to depend and rely upon the grace of the Lord. Amen. How many have found it really difficult to try to serve the Lord in your own strength and your own wisdom and your own ability? Amen. It's impossible, actually. You know, we may be doing something for God, but are we actually walking with God? This is really the question. Are we doing what God has called us to do? You know, if we ask God for material prosperity, for example, we must also be careful to pray for the grace to handle it. To handle it responsibly and not allow it to take the place of God in our hearts. I think one of the biggest issues for America has been just this, is that we have been very affluent. We have been very prosperous. And we have a tendency as human beings to take our eyes off God when things are going easy and smooth. And we don't have a sense need anyways, or felt need. And then begin to just rely upon ourselves, and that I got it from here, God, you know, thing. And the Lord does not want his people bowing down to any other idols, including self. Amen. The idol of self. And so the Lord will turn the heat up on our lives to get our attention once again. So we'll realize that without him, really, we can do nothing. As a matter of fact, the very next breath we take is by the grace of God. Amen. And so God is the one that has given life and breath to all. Amen. So that's why giving of thanks, you know, is so important. And giving as well, because it protects us. It keeps us free from greed and from covetousness. In 1 Timothy 6:6, it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Have you ever asked yourself, what would it be like if I just lost everything I have suddenly? Have you ever kind of put yourself in that scenario as to how you might react or how you might respond to that? Yeah, and some of you have been there. And I think it's very careful. We need to very carefully guard ourselves against being too connected to things of this world. Amen? God gives all things to enjoy, good things to enjoy, but we have to be careful that we don't get connected and dependent too much on things. Amen? And so it says in verse 8, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How many would agree with me today that not everybody can handle money? Not everybody can handle the responsibility that comes with having money. We can learn how to be responsible, but does that money begin to control our decisions? Money's not evil, but the love of money is. Why? Because money can easily take the place of God in our hearts. Money can easily become our God. And there are many people who do it, bow down to mammon, don't they? They bow down to money. That's what they live for. That is their heart's desire. That is their treasure. That is their passion of life, is just to get wealth and to get more. But Moses told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives what? You power to get wealth." So in other words, God enables people to make money, right? But that doesn't mean that prosperity is always a blessing. And we're going to talk about this a little further on here. Because God does bless people with financial prosperity. But with that prosperity also comes a stewardship and a responsibility. Amen? A greater responsibility. In fact, to whom much is given, to the same much is what? Required. Okay. And by the way, we're not going to have an offering, and I'm not going there with this today, okay? But I want us to understand something, that there is a great responsibility that comes with wealth, because it can very easily choke us spiritually and take the place of God in our hearts. So he says, "It is he who gives you what power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." So sometimes people inherit riches, right? From an inheritance. Or if somehow we become financially successful, we should be careful, amen, to pray for the grace to handle that wealth responsibly and not allow it to take God's place in our hearts. One of the greatest tests sometimes for a Christian is how they handle their wealth. Are they able to responsibly handle that which God entrusts to them without it becoming a snare to them? Because we quit trusting in God and now we start trusting in riches. There's only a few people, I believe, who can handle continued success in life without it affecting their Christian walk. Has anybody beside myself kind of been on a financial roller coaster at times? You've had it and then you haven't had it. Yeah. You know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because we learn, amen, to trust in the Lord through those times. Amen. And we have a tendency to draw near to God when difficult times come. It's just the way we're wired. Amen. And the Lord would much rather have his people willingly cooperate with him than to have to discipline us. But if we don't discipline ourselves, the Lord will have to discipline us. I'll say that again. If we don't learn to discipline ourselves, the Lord will discipline us. If you belong to him. Amen. That was the problem with the Laodicean church. Remember in Revelation 3:16, the Lord said, "Because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." He said, "I'm going to reject you because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." He's talking about spiritual poverty. They were financially wealthy, but in their spirit, they were impoverished. He said, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed." He's talking about spiritual provision, amen, of his righteousness. "And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see." Eye salve speaks of enlightenment by the Holy Spirit. You and I are incapable of seeing clearly without the help of the Holy Spirit, amen, who illuminates us. And of course, in that society, they were known to trade in eye salve, a special eye salve. So the Lord used a natural illustration to teach him a spiritual principle. Amen. But he says, and gold, of course, throughout the Bible really speaks of divinity. Amen. All right. And so God himself is to become our greatest treasure. He is to become our greatest reward. Amen. Jesus said it this way. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? Yeah. And he said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's better to be poor in this world than to have all its wealth and not be rich towards God. Sometimes I believe it's because of God's grace and because of his mercy that he protects us. He protects us from ourselves by not allowing us to get too wealthy. Sometimes God does that. Why? Because he cares. He knows what we're like better than we know ourselves. Most of us think that we're a good judge of ourselves. Isn't that true? And if it was my thought, it must be a good thought. But the Holy Spirit has a way of revealing things that were hidden and that we weren't aware of. And there's been many times in my life when I thought I was doing okay and doing well, when the Holy Spirit began to deal with me about something that I was not aware of. And I'm thankful for that. I don't want to be deceived. Amen. It's better to be poor in this world than to have all its wealth and not be rich towards God. 1 Timothy 6:17. Paul told Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. America needs to return to the God of our fathers. Would you agree? In God we trust, not ourselves, not our money, not our military, but in God alone. We need to get back to trusting the Lord. Amen. Our forefathers trusted in God. You know, our forefathers relied upon God for everything, for provision, for protection. And that's why we are so blessed as a nation, because of our founding fathers, because they made covenants with God in this nation. Amen. And it was founded upon the principles of the Word of God. And they work. And they were willing, those who came over to this land, to sacrifice their earthly treasure and possibly their own lives, and many did, in order to have freedom of worship. The Lord meant that much to them. Our forefathers came to this land to escape tyranny and religious persecution. I ran across this prayer. It's a short prayer of a typical pilgrim prayer from, this is a publication actually from London, 1625, and this is courtesy of Plymouth Plantation. Quote, O Lord our God and Heavenly Father, which of thy unspeakable mercy towards us has provided meat and drink for the nourishment of our weak bodies, grant us peace to use them reverently, as from thy hands, with thankful hearts. Let thy blessing rest upon these, thy good creatures, to our comfort and sustenance. And grant, we humbly beseech thee, good Lord, that as we do hunger and thirst for this food of our bodies, so our souls may earnestly long after the food of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So this is the thing, guys, is that we should be more concerned about the condition of our souls and even our bodies. Not to neglect the body, But as we would take care of our physical body, amen, so we should never neglect the most important matter, and that's the matter of our soul, our inner life. And ancient Israel, they had escaped bondage, remember, in Egypt and persecution. And God himself brought them out of Egypt. In Exodus 19:4, he said, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." And so today we fast forward to the church, amen, who is also referred to as a kingdom of priests, amen. 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Praise God for his mercy. Amen. So listen as he goes on to say in verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." How many know that fleshly lust is more than sexual sins? It includes that, but it's more than that. It's really referring to any desire that is inconsistent with what God wants for you. It's speaking of overindulgence, whether food or drink, or the amassing of material possessions and wealth, or overindulging in worldly pleasures. Anything that would wage warfare against your spiritual well-being. We have to guard ourselves. The most important part of us is our spiritual life. And many, because of prosperity, because of ease of life, have neglected the most important part of themselves. Oh, they give a little attention here and there. But God wants us to be in preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. For the bride is in preparation. And it is our responsibility to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, amen, in the process of purification by the word of God, the revelation that we get of truth, amen, so that we might be in position when the bridegroom comes, when the call goes out, amen, that we might be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, amen, because he's coming for the bride. He's coming for the prepared ones, for the ones that are looking for his coming. And those who are looking for his coming are those who are living for him. Amen. Fleshly lust is anything that could hinder our relationship with Jesus. All right. And here's an example in Psalms 106:10. He saved them again from the land of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. This is the way it is, isn't it? We have a great miracle. God comes through. Something wonderful happens. And then we're having a celebration and we're praising the Lord. But then what happened in verse 13? They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And listen what happened in verse 15. "And he gave them the request, but sent leanness into their soul." And the word leanness can also mean thinness, or referring to a wasting disease, such as some type of autoimmune disease or something that would eat your body, amen, up. And so their flesh was satisfied, is what happened here. God satisfied their flesh because they begged him for meat. For, remember? But their spirit became malnourished. He sent leanness of soul. So they got what they lusted for, but it resulted in poverty of soul. They were not satisfied with what God wanted for them because the world was more important to them. Think about it. In other words, God was taking them through a time of training and of discipline, But many of them were not willing to submit themselves to that. Instead of being thankful for the manna and the water and the simplicity of their situation, and knowing that they didn't have to work for it, God provided it. Amen? Instead, they began to complain. And they began to complain because they were being influenced by people that were scattered among them, that came out of the land with them. Some of these were Egyptians in Numbers 11 and 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" They were influenced by bad relationships. Who you associate with can negatively or positively influence you. Would you agree with that? Even wrong associations in the church can cause you to miss God's plan for you. Israel was adversely influenced by the complainers among them in their camp. And this desire for temporary satisfaction and prosperity became more important to Israel in the wilderness than God's superior purpose for them. How many would agree with me today that God's plan is superior to ours? It's better than what we would want for ourselves. But we have to be willing to trust God in His plan, that if God is saying that's not for you anymore, you need to quit doing that. You need to give that up. You need to sacrifice that thing. Lay it on the altar. If we're willing to cooperate with God, God will always reward you with something that is superior to anything that you give up for Him, including unrighteous mammon, even when we give. And God tells us to give. Amen. We give faithfully, we give cheerfully. Amen. Not just because we want something, but because we know that, amen, we get to give. Amen. And we want to honor the Lord, and we want to bless people. So we do it with the right motivation. And God will never, you know, hold back from you anything that you need. Amen. He is willing to give you everything you need to sustain you. Amen. But we have to also be good stewards over whatever He entrusts to us. So the desire for this temporary satisfaction became more important to Israel. I want it now. I don't want to have to wait for it. I don't want to have to go without certain things that I'm used to. But the reason God brought them out into the wilderness is to do what? To humble them, right? And to teach them that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God wanted them to know that your life is more than, amen, the manna. It's more than just the physical things, amen? Your life does not consist in the abundance of the things that you possess, Jesus said. Amen. He is our life. If you have Him, you have everything. Amen. So we don't have to covet anybody's silver or gold or their things or their possessions. Amen. Because all things are yours in Christ. Amen. And whatever God will test you to do, to even sacrifice in this world, He will reward you eternally for. He will reward you in eternity. You can never, as you've heard it said, outgive God. Jesus said in Mark 14, "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." In other words, it doesn't come to maturity. That person does not mature and produce good fruit. Why? Because of these three things: worries, riches, and primarily pleasures of this life. Worry can cause spiritual poverty, because really worrying is unbelief. It's a lack of trust. Worrying is a sign that we don't really trust God. I have to take it upon myself to worry about this thing because God may not come through for me. Philippians 4:6, how many know this? "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." As long as you continue to trust the Lord, you'll never be moved from your position of favor with Him. How many know the just shall live by faith? faith. We live, and amen, we trust the Lord in all things. We don't put our faith or our trust in possessions or worldly things, amen, but in the living God who provides all things for us to enjoy. Amen? So becoming preoccupied with wealth, all right, riches, right, leads to spiritual poverty. God's not opposed to wealth, but he is opposed to the worship of wealth. Remember, God did give Israel what they wanted. Amen. He sent ravens, didn't he? Or was it quail? It was quail. We have ravens around here. I'm not eating them, though. But God did give Israel their request for carnal things. But as a result, they became spiritually malnourished. Why? Because they didn't have a heart for the things of God. They wanted things. They wanted the temporal things of this world. To them, that was where their treasure was. You understand? Where is your treasure today? What do you esteem above all things? Is it your relationship with Jesus more important than even your life? See, the more we fill our lives with other things, the less room there is for the things of the Lord. And this always results in spiritual poverty. And spiritual poverty means a fruitless life. And without fruit, we cannot please our Heavenly Father. So without spiritual diligence, we will end up spiritually barren. We've got to have discipline in our lives. I said this many times. It requires discipline for us to pray, to deny ourselves, to seek the Lord, to seek his face, to receive his information, his instruction for our lives. Are you hearing me? It takes discipline to get into the Word, to study and find out and learn the ways of God. Amen? It takes discipline to get out of bed and come to church and gather with God's people and worship God. Amen? It takes discipline for everything that God has called us to do, even being a witness for him. Amen? Sharing the gospel with other people. It takes self-discipline. And without self-discipline, we're not going to be in a position to bear the kind of fruit that would glorify the Father. And self-discipline means that I am humbling myself under the mighty hand of God. It means I'm denying myself and placing myself under the authority of God to obey the Lord in all things. See, that's why God commended David. Even though he wasn't a perfect man, he saw that David had a heart after him. And David, once again, was willing to do everything God told him to do. That, amen, was of great value. David's treasure was the Lord himself. Are you hearing me? He was a man that sought the heart of God. To know the Lord was his life's pursuit. We must pray and we must seek first the kingdom of God. Now, we've been contending for a great awakening in America and for revival in the church of America. And our nation is crumbling and our wealth and security is disappearing due to the pride of independence from God. It's not too late for America. God is calling his people to humble themselves and pray. And hear me, everybody. Are you listening? Somebody say amen. Amen. Return to him with your whole heart. Whole heart. If you've been choked out by worldly things, it's time to repent, amen, and turn back to the Lord. Don't allow the blessings of God to become an idol in your life. It's vitally important that we focus on building up our spiritual life, amen, that we prioritize God's business, that we devote ourselves to gather in his name as often as we can, to worship, to study the word, and to share the gospel. We need revival. We must have revival. Revival begins with us, amen, with the church. It begins with me. It begins with you. We are contending for an awakening in America. I pray that this message has spoken to your heart today. If it applies, I believe that God is refining all of us. God wants a pure people. Amen? And God wants an honest people that are willing to cooperate with Him in all things. Amen? I don't want anything to become an idol. I don't want anything between me and my Lord. Amen? I want to live for Jesus. Amen? And if need be, die for Jesus. Amen? Because whether we live unto the Lord. If we die, we die unto the Lord. Amen? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Come on. But God came to give us fullness of life. Amen? Life abundantly. And that life is in Him. It's in Christ. Amen? If you are trying to find that fullness or the satisfaction in the things of this world, you're wasting your time. God doesn't want us wasting our time. He wants us redeeming the time, living the rest of our time for Him. Amen. And so God, deliver us from idols. I say, Lord, crush any idols in my heart. Tear them down. I don't want any gods before You. This world has nothing for me. We're going somewhere. We're on a journey. Amen. We're marching. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Here we have no continuing city. But we're looking forward to one to come. And whom dwells righteousness, God Himself, will be the light of this city. There will be no sickness or no more pain. Amen. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no parting over there. Praise God. He's calling us higher, heavenward. We need to keep our eyes fastened upon the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one that's waiting at the end for us. He's the one that's calling us. Amen. To come out of Babylon, come out of this world, come out of these things that are binding and restraining us. God's telling His church He wants you to be free from every weight. Amen. And every sin. Cast off those good things that are choking the life out of you. Be willing to obey and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Lay those things down, because anything that goes to death, amen, in the Lord comes through to resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're willing to lay your life down, you'll find it. I remember when I got saved, I was living it up in the world. But I was miserable. I was looking for every thrill under the sun, but I was miserable. Nothing was satisfying me. I had to come to the place where it was like, is this all there is? Is this it? And when Jesus came, when the Lord came into my heart, His love broke through. No comparison. I found what my soul was looking for. And if you're on the fence today, you need to jump off and you need to choose sides. You can't live between the two. You can't be lukewarm. God said, I'll spew you out. I'll spit you out. Decide. Make up your mind who you're going to serve. That's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Submit yourself to God. God wants His people to gather, to pray, to seek His face, to obey His voice. Amen? And if there are idols, they need to go. God gives you the power to choose what you do with your life. He's given you the responsibility for your life. He's not going to do it for you. But if you will cooperate with Him, you will experience the abundant life of Christ. Amen. The fullness of life. To where you're no longer pursuing worldly things because they don't satisfy you. Amen. God is weaning us off this world. He's getting a bride. He's getting a people ready for eternity. I want to be pure in heart. I want to see God. Amen. And I want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. I want to open the altar up here. Of course, it's always open if you'd like to come up and spend some time in prayer. Did God speak to your heart today about something? Are you willing to obey, cooperate with the Holy Spirit? You see, I said it already, but God is coming for a bride. He's coming for those who are looking for Him. If you're caught up in this world, you need to get uncaught. Amen. You need to get untangled from anything that's choking the life out of you so that you'll be in a position to bear fruit, to glorify the Father, and to finish your course with joy. It's not too late, but you need to make a decision. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of decision. Choose this day. Make up your mind. I'm going to humble myself before the Lord and say, "Lord, is there anything in my life that needs to go? What is it that I need to change?" Are you willing to listen to His voice? Are you willing to obey His instruction? True prosperity is spiritual prosperity. To be rich towards God is true riches. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Amen. Father, thank you so much for today, for this time, for the body of Christ, for the fellowship that we enjoy together, for giving us, Lord, your word. Lord, teach us your ways. Lead us in the way everlasting. Deliver us from evil and from deception and from every lie of the enemy. Break off of us those things that would hinder us, Lord, in this race. God, deliver us. Grant us the grace we need, Father. Lord, we ask you to baptize our hearts with your Holy Spirit and fire. God, we can't do this without you. It has to be you, God, we're asking. Breathe upon us. Breath of God. And we speak to the dry bones and say, "Come alive in Jesus' name. Rise up in Jesus' name. Awaken in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right where you're at, you can recommit your life. Say, "Lord, I recommit my life to you. I want to live for you. Teach me how to walk with you and grant me the grace that I need to live for you, that I might please you in all things, because I want to honor you because you deserve it. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your grace this day. Thank you for this moment, Lord. We don't know, Lord, how much time we have left, but while we have opportunity, Lord, we want to live for you. So grant us the grace we need to do so. In Jesus' name, amen."